Zion.
Actually, the beginning of Parshas Ha'isara explains what the connection is between the end of Parshas Vayera and Ha'isara. This Mukha Mitzvah Torah, Lakeda Sitz from the Fish, Ha'idei Besuras Ha'akeda, Parfa Nishmasam Emmanuel Mesa. She heard that her son was going to have an Ha'akeda, and she told her Pshat that she died from aggravation. That's the Parshas Pshat. Some interpret Pshat in this Rashi that she heard that he was not Nishkar, and she heard that he was canceled the last minute, then she got a heart attack. If she really wanted that her son should be brought for the Akeda, she knew that Avon was taking her son to the Akeda, and she heard that it fell through, so she got a heart attack. And the simple way that the Rashi is understood, the Medrash, is that she thought that her son was killed at the Akeda and she died from heart attack. So, Kiddush is
for him.
Could be. That's the Pasha Pshat. He didn't tell us. That's the Pasha Pshat. So the Nachsidish is swarm, they ask Akasha and this Rashi. How could it be that she got a heart attack when she heard that her son was going to go for the Akedah? In the previous Pasha, Rashi quotes from the Medrash, based on the Shuta Shalmikva, that Sora was a greater Nevi'a than Avram Avinu was. That she had a greater my love Nevi'a than Avram. So if Avram was a Navi of a lower level, he understood it. Tirubah Hashem caused you to bring your son to the Arcadia that you do it. He had him serious nefesh, and now the Hashem, and U.S. Hashem, and so on. So Sora was on a higher level of Nevi'a. She didn't understand that. So if I can't, why is she going to get a heart attack if she's going to hear that her son is going to be Nishchat on the Arcadia?
Hashem broke it to him slowly. Hashem broke it to him.
Hashem broke it to him slowly for a different reason, Rashi said, in order that he should get more schar. That's the... So in the Chassidish Svarim, they say, I think in the name of the Yavne Neza, they quote that, Adarabha, Avram Avinu didn't really understand the Nevuah. Whatever means we discussed last week. Lamaisa turned out, Hashem told him, no, Atzkisei Achsei, I never told you to bring your son as a Torah. The Pakhet Sora was on a higher level of Nevuah. She knew that such a thing is inconceivable. The Rebbe Shlomo would never, ever, ever say, you should bring my son as a korban. So that's why she got a heart attack. She thought that her husband brought her son as a korban on the Akedah. And she knew the Nevuah, that it can't be. And in fact, it wasn't. Avram was on a slightly lower level of Nevuah, so he understood, he touched the Nevuah, that he has to bring him as a korban. And then the Malach explained that it wasn't so. The Rebbe Shlomo explained what the whole shot in the Nevuah was.
Right.
But they asked Akasha if she heard that her son was going to be nishkat by the husband, by the father, as a carbon to the Rebbe Shlomo, so it must have been the Nevuah, so what did she get aggravated for? Just like Avram wasn't aggravated, he was going to do Ratzon Hashem the Simcha of Leiv Shalom, so why should she have gotten aggravated? So that's what they say in the Chiddush Yisrael. The Medrash comments on this pasuk is a famous Medrash that says, it lists off how many years Torah lived. So the Medrash quotes the pasuk, Yodei Hashem he made Timimim, that the Rebbeinu Shalom counts the years of the Tzaddikim of the Timimim, and then the Medrash concludes with a comment about Torah, that she was a Timimim, ke'eglis a Timimta, like a Behena. She was a Timimim like a Behena. What does that mean, ke'eglis a Timimta? So the Beis HaLevi has a drush on this, which he has in Parshas. And I think last week said, and I just left before, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, his halech lefanai ve'ayei tamim. And the Rebbeinu Shalom tells Bnei Yisrael, one of the mitzvahs is tamim tiyim Hashem elokecha. What is the mitzvah of tamimus? And it says that Avraham is commanded to be a tamim. What does it mean, Yidei Hashem, you made tamimim? What's the difference between a tamim and a tzaddik? So he says, a tamim is a person who does Ratzon Hashem because the Rebbeinu Shalom tells him to do it. He doesn't clear into the reasons why the Rebbeinu Shalom wants him to do this mitzvah and what's going to come out from this. Maybe pshat is like this, maybe pshat is like that. If the Baruch Hashem tells him to do something, so he does it. He'll try to understand the Tami HaMitzvah as a chelik of Tami Torah, but not before he does the mitzvahs, like we discussed by the Akedah. Avram is going to go do the Akedah even though it didn't make any sense to him, even though he thought that it was against his whole life's career. So the Beis HaLevi quotes a Gemara in the famous Rashi from the Beis HaLevi. Quotes a Gemara in Kiddushin, where the Gemara says that you can be kind of behind the Meshicha either if the behemoth is tied up and you pull it, that's Meshicha. Or if you whistle to the behemoth, you pull the behemoth, you hit it, and you cause it to move. Because even though you didn't do the Meshicha, that's called Koyach HaChem. You're a Bayin, it's Mitzurah for you. If I coax the behemoth to move, and it moves. Machmasi, some kind of machine. So the Gemara says, what about an Eved Knaini? What if you have an Eved Knaini and I want to be kind of him from you? So the Gemara says, you can be kind of Eved Knaini either with Kinyane Karka or with Kinyane Mitaplum. Because Eved Knaini is Hukash Lekarka, so you can be kind of him the Kesef of the Shtar. And you can also be kind of be Hagbah, be Mashiach, you can be kind of with Kinyane Mitaplum. Because the Mitzias is Mitaplum and it's Hukash Lekarka. So you can be kind of either way. So the Gemara says, what if I tell the Yevid to come here? I whistle for the Yevid, he should come to me. So then the Gemara says, it's not a good Mashiachet. So the Gemara asks, why not? Maishna be Behema, that by Behema, the din is that if you get, you coax the Behema to come to you, so it is a good Mashiachet. So let the same be true regarding Yevid Knaini. So the Gemara says, no, by a human being, he's not kochuk to you. If I tell you to do something, so you do it with a cheshbon. You want to make sure you're going to get an A. Or you want to make sure you don't get an F. Whatever it is. So everything goes with a cheshbon. He does al das atznoi. The human being makes a decision on his own whether he wants to listen to the other person or does not listen. If the behemah has mishkan seichem without atzma, so if I whistle to the behemah is in dancing focus to the one who's whistling or hitting it, and it goes. So then it's called the mishicha machmasi. The behemah is moving because of me. So then I'm kind of with the king of mishicha. It's considered the fact of the mishicha. The Gemara says the eved, what he's going to do, I'll call korilo. Korilo that he bought by the behemah is kind of korilo who bought by the eved knaini. He's not kind of because he's zeis al das atzma. That's what the Gemara says. So the Beis HaLevi says that's what the Pshat is in the Lashon HaMedrash here, that it says that Sora was a Pnimim. Yidei Hashem, he made Pnimim. And his Fasemis, in his Sefer HaChumash, he has Droshes. Every year, so every Drosh starts off with that Medrash. Yidei Hashem, he made Pnimim. Every year he said another Drosh. He was a Rebbe for 40 years. That's 40 Droshes on that Medrash. Why? But he doesn't have this comment that the Beis HaLevi doesn't have. So the Beis HaLevi has this comment on the Lashon of the Medrash that he concludes that Sora Yimeinu was a Pnima. Like a calf, like an egla that does things with tmimas. What does it mean? A behemah hatnish can say, means it does, I'll ask the one who's calling it to do. So Sarah did mitzvahs because the Ribbono Shel Olam told her to do the mitzvahs. And that's what the Gemara says in the first parak in Chulin. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk. Adam Behemah Toshi Hashem. We plead with the Ribbono Shel Olam, we ask him, she give Yeshua for the people, she give Yeshua for the behemoths. We're worried about the behemoths. They don't need Yeshua. They're happy. They're eating the grass. They don't have any problems. The people need Yeshua. So the Gemara says, no, we're asking for Yeshua for Eilu b'nei Adam sharumim b'das from the simim atzim ki behemoth. But the pasuk refers, it's not two different categories, Adam for behemoth. We ask Yeshua for the Adam, we ask Yeshua for the behemoth. The Silas is shown, quote his Gemara, in Chumen, the first parable. We ask Yeshua for the Adam u behemoth. The person who's both an Adam and behemoth means they're arumim b'das. Doesn't mean that they're stupid. Stupid person is chakad behemah. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about people who are intelligent, are ruling the das, but they're nesimim atzim ki behemah. When it comes to doing ratan Hashem, they act like behemahs. What do you mean? They come eiler. They do ratan Hashem like a behemah. No, it means nesimim atzim ki behemah, that they do it without his chakmus. That they do the ratan Hashem. The Rabbi Shalom tells them to do a mitzvah, so they do it without philosophizing so much. And in the Drush Svarim, I think this Fasem is another stuff. In the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecho, Shem Yisbaruch is mitzava Avram Avinu. Lech lecha mi'atzucho el ha'aretz asher ha'reka, you should go to Eretz Yisrael and I'll make you into a great nation, I'll give you a bracha, you have a lot of children, you get a lot of rich, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, ganza ma'ise. And then it says, v'yelach Avram kasha dibra el ha'ashem. Avram Avinu went, not because he wanted to get riches, not because he wanted to get a big family, not because he's going to make himself a gadlo shmecho, he's going to be world famous. Kasha dibra el ha'ashem. Rav Shalom told him to go, he's going to go, without the Talmud. He's not interested in getting his char, bo'elam hazeh, ba-ba-ba. Rav Shalom told him to do it, so he's going to do it. That's what they quote from one of the great Chassidish Rebbe, that he says, even if he would be told that for doing mitzvahs he burn again, and for doing averus he go to Gan Eden, he would do the mitzvahs. But Baruch Shalom said, you got to do the mitzvahs. And after Kamina, what's going to happen later? Baruch Shalom wants me to do the mitzvahs, I'm going to do the mitzvahs. Whatever will come out of me. So that's, I think the Svasemis and others also have that. That it says, the whole Hakdoma, go there to Israel, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and that's going to happen. All the good desires are going to happen. Then it says that he went there to Israel, because the Rav Shalom told him to go. Not because of this and that and the other thing, the money and the bottom and the Gadloshmeh. So that's a mitzvah. This is one of the mitzvahs of Torah. Tamim ti im Hashem HaRakech. It's not just that Sora was a Tmimo, and Avram Shteik is Halach Lefana Vayei Tom. All of Bnei Yisrael come in and to do the mitzvahs of Torah with me. The Talmud is considered a high hundred. Rav Shalom tells us he wants us to be a Talmud. The mitzvah to understand Talmud HaMitzvahs, that's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's a very high mitzvah. But the mitzvah to do the mitzvahs, to shake the lulav and to sit in the sukkah, you should have kavanas on mitzvah. that you shouldn't do the mitzvah because of the kavanah. You should have kavanah b'shas that you're doing mitzvah. You do the mitzvah because the Ribbono Shel Olam was mitzvah. And Hilchas Sefirot HaOmer, the Chok Yankov quote from one of the Rishonim, I forgot one of the big mekubalim of the Rishonim, the Chok Yankov on the bottom of Hilchas Pesach, quotes in Hilchas Sefirot HaOmer that they ask one of the Bali HaTosis, who was a very great mekubal, what kavanah does he have when he counts Sefirot? The Sefirot HaOmer is, he rots in there, but the Sefirot HaOmer gives way that it's a very deep in Kabbalah. So he has the same, he said he had the same kavanah that the 7-year-old child has. It was a little boy in the air. What did the kavanah child have? The Ribbono Shel Olam gives do a mitzvah. He does a mitzvah. All the Seydus HaKabbalah. It's a chutz hazak. He doesn't do it because of the Seydus HaKabbalah. There are reasons why the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the mitzvah, but that's not why we do the mitzvah. We do the mitzvah. Kasher Tivani, Hashem Elokot, do the mitzvah. We don't have to do the mitzvah.
All the philosophers, you know, that you say Talmudia and Hashem, is all the people who philosophize and all do that stuff as well.
No, that's a chelik of Talmud Torah. That's a chelik of Talmud Torah. That's a different thing. But when you come to do the mitzvah, the motivation to do the mitzvah should not be all of the reasons why the mitzvah.
You can give all the reasons, you just don't use them.
Right. You have to have the motive. One should be motivated to do the mitzvah because he knows that this is Tzivay Hashem, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the boss, and this is what he wants us to do. All for the boss. The boss is exactly you got to do, so you got to do. And I'm familiar what the reason is. Pasuk says that Avraham Avinu set a hesped on his wife and he cried to Liv Kosto. So there's a smochav on Liv Kosto. So the Bala Turim says that the reason why there's a smochav, Shalabocha Ela Miyat, he didn't cry so much. How come he didn't cry so much? It was his wife. First wife died. Had another wife. Had another wife that he was going to take Hagar later on. So he says that's not why. She was an old lady anyway. She's 127 years old. So he says, he says, Kena husband. Inami, he has an interesting shot. There is a din hama'abed atzma ladas emas pidemoysa. If a person commits suicide, you're not allowed to say hesped, you're not allowed to cry, because the person did an aver. So he says, if a person caused his own death, it's also like ma'abed atzma ladas, not exactly the same thing at all. It's already a major jump. It's a giant step. There's a ma'abed atzma ladas emas pidemoysa. So if a person did some aver, which I know caused his death, so then also emas pidemoysa so much. And he says that he garmala misasa, she caused her own death. Avraham Avinu knew that she caused her own death because when she had no children and she was angry at her husband, so she said, Yishpot Hashem beini veinecho. So the Ribbono Shel Olam should punish you for not having rahmanas on you. And the Gemara says on that pasuk that Sarah was 10 years younger than her husband. How come she died so much before her husband? How old was Avraham Avinu when he died? 175. And she died at 127 and she was 10 years younger. So how come she died so much before her husband? So the Gemara says in Baba Kama, the Gemara in the next part, I think in Achayvah, no? That Amoysa Dina La Shamayim Hunan Ashkilon. That if the Gemara says that if I have a taina against you, so I should go and tell you my taina and you should pay me the money that you owe me, or we should straighten out whatever it is. I should go to Bezna Shalmat, I'll go to your wife, I'll go to your husband, I'll go to your parents, I'll go to your Rebbe, and straighten out and see that you don't hurt me anymore, you don't insult me, you don't steal from me, you don't cheat, whatever it is. I'm supposed to go straight to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Gemara says, if there's no Bezna Shalmata, if there's no way to take care of it, Bala Mazeh, so then you have a right to complain to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then it's mutter to be Moshe Dina La Shamayim. But if there's someone to speak to Bala Mazeh, I can speak to the person's brother, his Harusa, and get him to straighten out. So I'm not allowed to complain. I'm not allowed to doubt that the Ribbono Shel Olam, you should punish that guy. Because of the gablet that he does to me. So Sora right away screams to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Yishpat Hashem beini veinecho. Speak first to your husband. Speak to him, tell him, have rachmanas on me, don't be so mean to me, and so on. So the Gemara says, because she was Moshe Dino la Shamayim, so therefore he nensho tchilo. And Avraham Avinu felt that this, Avraham Avinu knew this Gemara in Bava Kama, he knew that this is why she died at such a young age, so that's why he didn't cry so much. It's a pchina of hamabrat maladat. Chiddush. Okay. I don't know, but the Gemara says that. Of course, there's a Gemara that she was Moshe Dino La Shamayim. That's what I mean. She didn't do any real aver. She got darker big aver. But it's called in Shulchan Aruch, you're not permitted to be Moshe Dino La Shamayim. And the Sefer Hadrash Behoyun by the Reish Rav, he has a comment on this pasuk that I say every year, that the Medrash says that the Akedah took place on Rosh Hashanah. And then she died soon after the Akedah. So she died before Yom Kippur. And it is that if somebody dies before Yom Kippur cancels Shiva, and Sukkot cancels Shloshim. So that's why it has a small chafel of Kaisa. There was very little Shiva. There's very little Avelis. The Shiva was canceled and the Shloshim was canceled. That's the Reish Eruv. That's why Baron Levine, Professor Levine's grandfather, as I say from Chumash, he has a drush, an interesting drush on all the parshas up there. Most of Dino Lashamayim is in Shulchan Aruch. I think it's in Orach Chaim Hilchos Tefillah, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. I think it's in Hilchos Tefillah. Bichlal, there is a Gemara in the last parak of Ma'ikot and has all the dinim of Avela. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from the Navi Yirmiyah, where the Navi is speaking about the Churban Beis Hamikdash and the Golos of Bnei Yisrael. I forgot to read the whole history. So the Navi said that there are going to be two kings. One king will be killed by the Kazdim, and the other king will be taken into captivity. So he says to the people, the Navi tells Bnei Yisrael the Nevuah, that they shouldn't cry about the king who's going to be killed. He's going to have it easy. They should cry for the one who's going to go into captivity. I forgot the whole lesson. He will never return back to Eretz Israel, and he's going to suffer in Golus, a terrible suffering. And the Gemara comments in Bava Basra, in the first parak in Bava Basra, based on that pasuk in Yirmiyah, and based on other pasukim, also Navi, that Shevi could be captured, could be imprisoned by an enemy. Is worse than Misa. That if they kill you, so you're dead. So Fartik, so you suffer. And if they keep you in captivity, in prison, so then you suffer an extended suffering and it's worse. So that's a simple pshat in the Navi. Gemara darshins another level of interpretation at possible. That when a person dies, you're not permitted to cry. What do you mean? Not allowed to cry? Everybody cries. So Gemara says, Shivas Yamim Lebechi, that you cry for 7 days. So Gemara says, Yoshimi die. Not allowed to cry too much. It's an issa to cry Yosin Yidan. So the Gemara says, what's the Shia? So the Gemara says, Shivas Yamim Lebech. There is a Gemara in the end of So what's the Hemshech of the Pasuk? How does the Gemara dash in the Hemshech? V'chu bach ala ha'ilach kilu yashuv liros eseret achuzasa. How do they read right to the next Pasuk? So the Mepharshim have a biur. I'll explain it in a minute. So the Gemara has in the end of Shabbos a comment that it's very bad to be krechzing all the time. It's very bad to be complaining about your sad lot and about your operation and about your aches and pains. And Gemara says, one opinion is, Anoche Shaveres Chatzik Gufa Shalom. The other opinion is, Anoche Shaveres Kotel Shalom. And krechzing and complaining is very unhealthy. So the Gemara says that there was one of the Amoraim, he got the whole story, he lost one of his children, I think. One of his children died. So he didn't cry at all in Shiva. Because Anoche Shaveres Gufa Shalom, it's very unhealthy to cry. So there's Fasemis and the Kedushim and the Gemara Esta Kasha, but the Gemara has a din that Shivas Yamim Lebech, you have to cry for 7 days. He says, no, that's a heter. That means you're allowed to cry for 7 days. The other din is, Altiv Kolomes. You're not allowed to cry when somebody dies. But the Gemara says, how can a person control himself? He's honest. How can he not cry? A relative died. The Gemara says, Yaisim he died. Yaisim he died at least. A little bit he can't control yourself, so himself manapatri. But if a person can't control himself, so he shouldn't even cry in the middle of Shiva. That's how the Svasana says at the end of Shabbos. So the Mepharshim on the Yan Yaakov at that Gemara, at the end of Ma'ikot, interpret what's the Hemshech HaPasik. Al Tivkol HaMeiz V'al Tanudu Lo B'chut B'ach Al HaHeil. How did the Gemara interpret not the Pshut HaShem Nukul, we know the Pashuk Shai, but the two kings, the one who's going to be killed, the one who's going to be taken into captivity. But the way the Gemara interprets that you shouldn't cry on HaMeiz Yaisim Yidai B'chut B'ach Al HaHeil, what's L'HaHeil? So now gives another Pshat, another level of Drash, L'HaHeil V'Loi Bonim. It's a different Pshat. So what's the viewer? So the Mepharshim explained there that crying always represents that the person is so aggravated about the way things are going that he just can't control himself, he can't stay in a state of equilibrium, and he bursts out into crying. Why should a person feel that things are so bad if he really has a moon and bitachon and the Baruch Shalom, that the Baruch Shalom has complete control over the whole world? We believe that there's only one Baruch Shalom. If there would be more than one, there'd be a God of good of God and a God of evil. Then sometimes the God of evil takes over, sometimes the God of good takes over. So then you understand, gee, the wrong God is taking over now. But it's not so. We believe there's only one good God in heaven above, and he runs everything else. Everything that happens is good. The Baruch Hu never does anything bad. Everything that he does is good. When people die, he's a prophet. Shem Shem Baruch 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 Baruch. He's supposed to say the Baruch Hu in embassy if he can. But it's great simple because he knows that this is Ratzon Hashem and this is something good, it's not something bad. So that's what the Gemara says, Al Tivkol HaMeis, that you're not allowed to cry when anybody dies, Because crying represents that a great tragedy occurred. And the person is so sad about the tragedy, he can't control himself. What do you mean you're sad about the tragedy? Whatever the Rebbeinu Shlom does is good. So when a person cries, that's an act of kfirah. Like when the Meraglim came back. Tragedy is from the human perspective, it looks to us to be a tragedy. But if a person is really a maimon and he really believes that there's only one Bari Olam, the Bari Olam is a good God, and everything that happens in the world, the Rebbeinu Shlom sees to it, that only good things happen, nothing bad happens, so then there's no tragedy. I'll leave it there. Yeah, the Rebbeinu Shlom gives Quranas, he punishes people for the averas that they do. Yeah, that's a tragedy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
so maybe also wish to the same. On the say comes with that. From our perspective, the Gemara says you say the bracha, Dayno Emes, first say the bracha with the same simcha as Hateva Meitim. So why do you say with the same simcha, say the same bracha? Say Hateva Meitim and Soledai. So the answer is no, from the human, we're saying the bracha. The Rebbeinu Shlom is not saying the bracha. So from our perspective, this is a Dayno Emes and this is Hateva Meitim. But Aliba Demes, we should realize that we have a little krum perspective, we have a lot krum perspective. And the emes is that everything is toiva. So the nusach habracha we recite based on our perspective, that it's a dynamic, it's a tragedy. But we're supposed to say b'simcha based on the yamuna, that it's really a good thing, that it's not a tragedy. So the Gemara says that the Bnei Yisrael were punished because they cried when the Meraglim came back. Because they cried b'chiyah shel chinam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kaveyet as a yom b'chiyah ledoros. So the Mefarshim on Yaakov, the end of my cousin, point out that whenever people cry, it's an indication that they're so overwhelmed by the tremendous tragedy that they can't control their emotions and they break out in tears. And every time a person cries, it's lemaisa, it's an act of kfirah against the Rebbeinu Shlom. Doesn't really believe that there's one Bari Olam who has control of everything, and the Rebbeinu Shlom does good things, he never does anything good. So what does the Gemara say? Atif kol ameis yosim yidai, that shiras yamim, it's muta to cry. That's what this first time is, muta to cry, not muchiv to cry. Muchiv to cry doesn't make sense, muta to cry. So what's shat muta to cry? So the answer is like an oinus. Sometimes the Rebbeinu Shlom allows us to be apikurus, allows us to complain against his decision, the way he's running the world.
That's Tisha B'Av's all that, isn't it? That's a Tisha B'Av's all that. That's where we have to cry. It has to be a time of sins. Why should we say it should be a time of Amuna instead of a time of Bechira?
It doesn't say you have to cry. Like the Gemara says that... The Gemara says when a person is in Avelos, so he's muchiv to do all of the mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, why not consider him an Isaac the mitzvah? An Isaac the mitzvah, patam and a mitzvah like a chos. And the Gemara says in Barachas, it's patam and a kriyashma. Because an Isaac the mitzvah, Torah, tirdin, a mitzvah, thinking, planning about the Birishayna. To say the Yovel is also Torah, tirdin, a mitzvah, that he's in Tsar and he's in aggravation, so he can't concentrate on Krishma and Shema Esrei. So the Gemara says, let him pull himself together. He's not muchiv, that's not a mitzvah. The chosin, the Torah Tirdin HaMitzvah is thinking ahead how he's going to do the Birushan and he's nervous about that. So that's a chelik in the mitzvah, the nervousness and excitement that he's going to do a mitzvah that he's unfamiliar with. But the Ovel is not supposed to be in a state of tzar. Either completely aggravated and in fact it can't be mechav mekrishma. So the Gemara says, pull yourself together. That's not part of that. That's not a chelik in the mitzvah of Avelis to be aggravated. That's the Gemara in Prophets. The Gemara Sukkah. It's not.
The Gemara says, Shait Phil Nilo, which are the most low Nilo.
Yeah, that's a different thing. You're not crying about a tragedy. You're crying to the Rebbeinu Shlom. It's a different. I don't think it's the same. That's not the same kind of crying. It's not a spontaneous burst of tears because of aggravation. It's a different kind of crying.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just saying no. Just what some of the Farshim saying. I don't know if everybody says this. Found an interesting view on the Anyak. So then he continues. I forgot which one of them Farshim on the Anyak. He continues to interpret the rest of the passage. It says, "Chul altif kolamesh v'alta nudu lo." That it's not really proper to cry. Yosim idak. A little bit you can't control yourself. It's honest. So then we say he's thought of doing an act of fear of bainus. But the Yosim idak, to that extent, he should control himself. Then the passage continues, "Chul bocha lahaylef." So one of these Mefarshim interprets on that, on the Hemshech HaPasik, that it means when a person dies who had mitzvahs and maisim tovim to him, And now those mitzvahs of ma'aseh tovim and tzedakah and milas chasam, whatever the person did, will be missing, will be lacking. So that is something to cry about. Kilu yoshu, oh, the leretz achuzos, it means he won't be able to do these mitzvahs anymore. One should cry about the lack of klot shamayim, the fact that so many mitzvahs of ma'aseh tovim will no longer be done. So that's why when you have, let's say, a hesped, the master is not supposed to, get the people to cry. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, the purpose of the hesped is to get people to cry.
Isn't that that discusses how they have the women? There's a mitzvah
to say a hesped. We learn that from this parsha. This public sort. There's a mitzvah that the krovim should see to it that a hesped should be arranged. Either they should say the hesped or get someone else to say a hesped. But the hesped should consist of not bringing out what a tragedy was that he died at such a young age and he left his wife and so many young children. He has no panosa and his house burned down and whatever tragedy about the human tragedy. Not supposed to get all the people to cry about the human tragedy. He's supposed to get the people to cry about the lack of klot shamayim, that the person did mitzvahs and ma'aseh tovim and chasad and whatever, he's a good person, and all of this is going to be missing. If a person cries a lot about that, then there's no aveira. The Gemara says, one who is misabel al ha'meis yesh midai is over an ister. The Gemara says, because he's still complaining about the Rebbeinu Shlomo's decision to cause the person to die. So there's no longer an onus rachmana patre after the 7 days is up, so there's no longer any onus. But what if the person is crying about the fact that there's a lack of klot shamayim, keeps on crying and crying. Say a Rebbe died, or a big tzaddik died. And the person keeps on crying back that the tzaddik of the Rebbe is not here. So that, poskim say, is permissible. In fact, there's a pirkei of the Rebbe Lezer on the pasuk at the end of this week's Sedra that says that when that Rivka was born, Avram was notified right after the Akedah about the birth of Rivka. But before the age of three, she's not really a Leviya, so they waited until she was 3 years old, and then Yitzchak married her. Yitzchak at the time of the Akedah, according to one Medrash, a different Medrash, one Medrash says he was 37, he got married at the age of 40, so he had to wait 3 years until she would be really Leviya. Taisus quotes that, the rather Medrash and Darachayim. Taisus on the Gemara. Isn't that Taisus? Also in Babak Tana. Shabbos. Taisus on Shabbos, I think, quotes. The Medrash and Chaluka. So, the Pirkei the Rav Lezer holds like that, that Yitzchak was crying for the death of his mother for 3 years. And then when he married Rivka, and he saw that Rivka was such a great tzaddikah, as the pasuk says, "Vayivayehu Yitzchak ha'ohel l'stor imon," and Rashi says that he saw all the nisim and the flores, Rachum v'tzuyi be'isa, and ner dolak ala honor, and so on. So he saw that he had a tzaddikah for a wife. So then, "Vayinochem Yitzchak achra imon," the pasuk says. Then he stopped crying for his mother. And the pasuk sounds like that. The perfect of lesson, perfect of the pasuk. He was crying for his mother for 3 years. So the question is, the Gemara says that it's awesome. More than that is Altif Kolamei. So he didn't know that Gemara. Yitzchak Avina didn't know the Gemara. I know the Gemara. How come Yitzchak didn't know the Gemara? So the Parshim say no. Altif Kolamei Yisrael Midai means you're not allowed to cry about the human tragedy involved. There was no human tragedy. The old lady was 127 years old, like the Bala Turim says. He wasn't crying about the fact that the old lady died. He was crying about the fact that his mother was such a tzaddikis. And he didn't see any other replacement for the Onan Kosher Ala. Then when he got his wife, because he saw that she had all these midas tovim that were missing for 3 years. And then he stopped crying about the fact that it was missing at the death of his mother.
So all these plus avails, which you're clear to do, that has to do not with the human tragedy,
The whole idea of Avelus is that all that tzaddik menorah today nish samale. It's a pasuk that when a tzaddik dies, when a behemoth dies, a behemoth dies. Nish gefelta. When a tzaddik dies, so you have to take notice of it. You have to make some kind of a siman. So kavod avias requires that, you know, the mitzvah kavod avias requires that you have to recognize it in some fashion or another. Let's say an adam rosha dies. Adam rosha dies. It says in Shulchan Aruch that there's no Avelus. Period. There's no Avelus at all. Sometimes we don't observe that din. If the father's not religious and the other members of the family are not religious and there's one son who's from, so the religious son is not going to sit shiva because it says in Shulchan Aruch that you don't sit shiva. And the non-observant children are going to sit shiva. So it doesn't look nice. So the religious son also makes believe that he's also sitting shiva. But strictly speaking, the din is that you don't sit shiva when Adam Rasha dies. Even if he was just a gangster. So he was a ganav, professional ganav, that's what he did for a living. Smuggler. He could be a smuggler here in the neighborhood. He was this guy, davening in Chassidus Shishtibel in 101. Where you're from? And his daughter married a Talmud Chacham who became a Rosh Yeshiva. Talmud Chacham became a Rosh Yeshiva. It was the smartly, so the din is agamah. So the din is that you're not supposed to shit shiva. No, the children weren't going to observe the din. It would be a bizayin to them. So his wife and the children, they believed that they were sitting shiva. And they were sitting shiva. Everybody knew, the whole neighborhood knew there was a smartly. That's how he was misparnas. He did a lot of mitzvahs. But it says in Shulchan Aruch that if he's yadua, that he's just a mumma the davar echad. He's not a mumma the chalat harikul. He also don't say shit. It says a ganav mafursa. So the guy's a ganav. He's known to be a ganav, or he's known that he's meyuchad for one aveira. Let's say he's mechal Shabbos. He goes to work on Shabbos. Everything else he keeps. He goes to work on Shabbos. So it says he's not a mumma the chal Shabbos, but perhaps he's being a kach mechalat harikul. You don't need such a high level of mumma. It's a Russia. A Russia, not Stam, he did one aver once in a while. If he's a mumma, a double reference, so it doesn't show enough that you don't observe aver.
I think shiva is only for the human nature. If we're not saying for shiva for Russia, that's in place for Lushmaim, there's no Poshmaim. That's why shiva, we're saying that shiva is for human tragedy.
He's stamina. He's stamina, that's what he is. If you observe some shiva for the human tragedy, he's stamina. It's flawless, over the tzaddik and earth, then he's stamina. And if Sarik dies, so it's not covered abridus to let the Sarik die without taking notice of it. Abahima dies, it doesn't bother. But a person dies, so you have to make some kind of a issue about it, that there's a lack of Kvod Shammai. That mitzvah Mais and Tevim are going to be miserable. Even if the person does 610 mitzvahs of Mais and Tevim, but there's one that he's very loose on, Agana for Baalesh Yisish or whatever, he's known to be an Avarian in one area, so we pass him the Shulchan Aruch, there's no other. What was it? Gimel Bechi or Shiva Bechi? I forgot. Shiva Le'evon? From Gimel Bechi. Someone's also crying. He had no chavrus. He used to learn. No, he used to learn Torah with Yosef. Somebody was crying on the lack of Kvod Shammai. I don't know. People make believe that they're sitting shiva. I mean, they observe shiva if there are other relatives around. No relatives around, isn't it? There's no fear. I don't think there's any. The gimel yamim lebecha you have anyway. Let's say the person feels bitter. It's his father who dies. So he feels bitter. So he can cry. The gimel yamim lebecha you have anyway. But the observance of shiva, strictly speaking, says the Shulchan Aruch that you don't have. There's a stira in the Shulchan Aruch. There's two stira. One stira it says you do observe shiva only if he's a mumma l'chol ha'karikul. And one stira it says that you don't. So the Mefarshim have the Shach and the Poskim discuss it. What's the klal? Except Sofer has a tshuva that I think is generally accepted. It depends whether the person suffered at the end. Did he die suddenly? If the Rosh died suddenly, so you don't have the right to assume that he was a chayz of a tshuva. But if he had cancer for a year and he had something, and he's sick in the hospital or whatever, then except Sofer says, then we're told that he probably did tshuva at the end. Unless you know that he didn't. Let's say on his deathbed, he says he's still an apikoros. Still doesn't believe. So he doesn't believe, so he can't be told that he did shuva. But if you don't know one way or the other, then the Ksav Sefer says that we assume that he did shuva. In fact, a lot of times you have people who call your name, we're a shayim, and then as they're suffering towards the end, but then you hear them talk from a ray. That's like the Ksav Sefer's shuva. The Metzia seems to support a little bit the Ksav Sefer's. Ksav Sefer has a shuva to Farem for the steer that the Shach points out, the steer and two Ramos in the Yeridim. That's a different shot of the details. But in principle, you see that the idea of Avelis is not for the human. The tragedy on the human level, but rather for the tragedy on the spiritual level, because of the lack of Kvod Shammai.
So what was the
there's a difficult. There's a difficult letter supposed to be written by the Rambam. I never saw it, but I heard that it's supposed to be in the collection of letters of the Rambam at the study. His brother was a Karoy or something, and his brother died, and he was crying over the death of his brother for over 10 years.
Because he had to go to work.
And a brother who was a Karoy.
His brother died, he had to go to work, he had to go to rest.
That's why he was crying. Yeah, that's why he was crying. I don't know. You have to look to see, I don't know. Somebody told me there's such a letter. I never saw.
So how does this answer around the Sefer Shana Pasuk Yomim?
So some Mefarshim interpret, Al Tivku L'Meis V'Al Tanudu Lo, you're not permitted to cry over the human tragedy. Yoisimi die. A little bit you can't control yourself. And then it says, B'chu Bracha L'Hoyla, you should cry about the fact that the person went away and is missing mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, ki lo yashuv od l'eretz ha'achazasa, he will not be able to, that person won't be able to come back and do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim anymore. That's how some claim that the Hemshech of the Pasuk reads the way the Gemara is darshan. The Gemara never finishes off the drasha that they begin with. Al tifka l'meis yoisimi die. So some of Farshim on the Anyanke fill in the rest of the drasha.
Well, it's amazing. On the other point, that you have a Muna, that he'll be able to come back and do moments. In
yeah. Right. So that's why. Okay.
So that's why maybe that's why you
shouldn't cry. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's how the Chumash says. Banim Hashem Simu Korcha Benin Echem Lamei. So the Farshim on the Chumash say the Farshim Shat is you should all realize that we are Banim Hashem Alakeinu, and therefore when a Jew dies, it's not that he's dead and gone and gone in the grave and it's gone and forgotten. No, there's going to be a Tchis HaMeisim, and therefore we shouldn't travel like the going that they cry and they scream and they rip their clothing and they rip their bodies and so on. But yes, the person just went to another place. The neshama went to the Yolam HaNesham. It's not that he's dead. Then he went to another
place.
A little bit to demonstrate. Ephron offered to give the Moras HaMachpelah to Avraham Avinu and he refused. He wanted to pay money for it. So he said, V'Shorash HaAvodah, quotes in the name of the Zohar, commenting on this pasuk. He said V'Shorash HaAvodah was written by a Litvish. He lived in Vilna. Lived the days of the time of the Vilna Gaon, I think. And everybody knew Shasta. Everybody knew Gemara. So he wrote a sefer, he only quotes Zohar. When it comes to Gemara, he just gives you the Mar Malkam. Over there, everybody knows those Gemara. Gives you the Da. And then the whole sefer just quotes the Zohar, because that not everybody was familiar with the Zohar. Mishnah Berurah quotes that so often, the sefer, he said the Shara Shavar. Rabbi Alexander Ziskin was the Machaber. And his descendants are called Mishpachas Beraz, B'nai Rabbi Alexander Ziskin. Beraz is the Rosh Hashanah, base Reish Alav Zayin. I think Harry Fishel's wife was a Beraz or something. I already forgot. I think his second wife was a descendant from Machaber of the Sefer Shara Shavar. So he quotes in his sefer that she tried to get an aliyah on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Yom Tovim, and even if they auction off the aliyahs and it costs a lot of money, she tried to spend a lot of money. And he quotes the Zohar on this pasuk that Avraham Avinu didn't want to get the mitzvah for nothing. Didn't want to get the Moras HaMachpelah for nothing. It's a big inyan that you have to, if it costs you money to do mitzvahs. It's a bigger inyan. L'fum tzai ra'ad ra'mustam. If you spend more money to do a mitzvah, so you get more time. The poskim have a different. That's what he says. Al Derech HaKabbalah quotes the Zohar. The poskim have a different klal here that a Beis HaKfaris has to belong to the Jewish community. Le'olam Vod. That if Yehuda has tshuvas and some Sefer has tshuvas and Yitzchak Hanan has, we all have tshuvas like this. That some communities in Europe they wouldn't sell a Jewish kehila a plot for a cemetery. Le'olam Vod. They give them 100-year lease, some 150-year lease or something like that. So they're going to bury people. What are they going to do after 150 years? If they're going to want their plot back, what do you do? So all the poskim say that you're not allowed to do that. You're only allowed to bury in a plot where it belongs to you, lachalut, and l'yoyl avoid, because what are you going to do after the 150 years? You're going to have to carry the mason somewhere else, so that's an iser. It's also l'fanas tam is shaylat, it's an iser derais, an iser derabonon. Some poskim hold it's an iser derais, and we usually assume that it's an iser derabonon to be mefana mason, but we assume that it's a serious iser. Different reasons, many different reasons are given, but we assume that it's a serious iser, shalom l'fanas mason, except under very difficult circumstances. The Nadi Yehuda has a famous tshuva that the only way to bury the people is if they'll lease a plot for 150 years, so Atmanish Kambrera, so then you're allowed to do it. So the later pastor can say, what do you mean? So you can't do that. Oh, what do you mean you can't do this? What are you going to do? So they say, so bury everybody on the old cemetery plot, right? But all the room is all taken up. So all the classical pastor can say, you get offer. And the din is you can bury one mace on top of the other, provided that you have six tfachim of offer in between one aron and the other. So you say you get yourself a lot, you buy a lot of offer, and you put the offer up, so you have, and you dig a few feet into the ground anyway. So make sure that you have six tefachim of offer in between that arm and the next arm, and then you just have another level. And you make the base HaKadosh higher.
We can't be higher than the ground, okay?
Yeah. The ground level just became higher. Why not? I just made a mountain. I can bury people in a mountain. So I make it higher. If you have, you run out of rooms, they make it even higher. I think Rav Yitzchak Hanan writes in his tshuva, in the Ein Yitzchak, tshuva's Ein Yitzchak, in Chelik every day, that he heard that in the city Kalish, they ran out of room, a city in Poland, that they ran out of room on the cemetery, so they had to put off for 6th and 12th. And the Morgan Avram and Elie Rabba were buried there. So on their plot, they didn't put off. They didn't want to bury anybody else on top of them. But on everybody else, on the Balabatim's Kvarim, they put off on top and they buried more on top of everybody else. The only two Kvarim that they left alone, the Balabatim left alone, were the Morgan Avram and Elie Rabba.
So, Machpelah also, aren't they buried one on the other Zigos? Isn't that what the Rashi says? They buried one on top of the other Adam, then Abram, then
Yitzhak, and Chavah. Don't know. Full of bazookas, I don't know how were they buried. I don't know. Don't remember. Rashi just quotes, he doesn't say exactly how they buried him. So how were they buried? One on top of the other?
What meant? If you hold the Zulma in the middle,
Okay. Don't know. So now the Yehuda has a tshuva that all of the later Paschim don't like. His son didn't like him. Then Yehuda's son wrote the Shiva Tzion. He took over the Rabbonis in Prague after his father died. He was a big Tamachach. So he didn't like it either. The father, Nadav Yehuda, wrote, if you have no breris, so you lease the plot for 150 years, and you bury the Jews there. So what's going to be after the 150 years are up? They're going to want the plot back. They're going to make a recreation center there. They're going to make a swimming pool there. So what do you do with all the people who are buried there? So Nadav Yehuda says, so you move them somewhere else. Either there's an Issa Shalom, the Fanas, or some Asians. Nadav Yehuda comes up with a Chiddush, Nifla. That the Yisra Shalom Lepanis Mason, whatever reason it is, all the reasons that the Post can give, Chedus Adin, that the Mason will get frightened, or whatever, Bizoin Mason, only applies Kozman that there's still Bosser on top of the bones. But after 150 years, it'll be all Nisakala Bosser, so you just have bones. So if you only have bones, then there's no Chedus Adin, and there's no Bizoin Mason, there's nothing. I don't know. Chiddush? And he brings a ra'i, yeah, that the tour quotes the Ramban and Tavis Adam, that there's a whole institution of Lita Tatsamas. He more talks about the very end of the Yeredeh, I think it's the last thing in the Yeredeh, is Lita Tatsamas, that if a person is buried in one place, and after many years the body decomposed and all you have left are bones, so if you want to collect all the bones and move them to a different plot, so there's a din that you, the relatives who are still alive, if their Akrogim was still alive, who would have to observe Avelis, they observe Avelis Kol Asayom. It's only one day Avelis Ad Sof Hayom. You don't say Mitzayom to Kulay. It says, Ad Sof Hayom, you observe Avelis. And Nadav Yehuda says, why are they relocating the bones? Why don't they leave the bones where they were? The Chanisa, Shalom HaFanis is HaMeisim. So everybody assumes there must be a reason. There's a Bizoyan over there, go there, it's Yisrael, or some kind of a Heter, whatever the Heter is, I can move into the family plot. Nadav Yehuda says, no. When it's in Sakal, call Abbas, and you only have bones left, then there's no Yisra of Pinu Yames. And his son, the Shiva Tzion, disagrees. He says that it's not generally accepted. That's what the later Poskim, that's some Sefer, and Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan, they also say at this, that the Shiva Tzion already said that Yehuda is not right. His own son said that we don't accept it. So they say it's generally not accepted.
What do
they hold that it's not right. They hold that. If you have no place, where's going to be the new place? Rebbe Chaim Soloveitchik, in 150 years we can find a new place, and now there's a Malchus on shore, they don't let. 150 years there'll be a Malchus Shalom Chesed, so they'll let. Yeah. He said all those cases go before in the Sakal Kalabas. After the Sakal Kalabas, then there's nothing to discern. That's what he said. And the later Paschim say that we don't hold like this. Then they quote, the Paschim quote also the Gemara in Yesh Nechlim, where the Gemara speaks about how Baal Yeresh Es Ishtoi, whether it goes back to Yovel or not, whether the Sada goes back to Yovel or not. So the Paschim says that Pinchas, Ben Elog, Ben Ar Pinchas is buried in the field that he yarshan from his wife. So the Gemara says, how can it be? It's going to go back to Yovel. It's going to turn out Nimtza Tzadikovo Nimtza Tzadikovo Bekevish Enish Aloy. It's going to turn out that the Tzadik is buried in a plot that doesn't belong to him. So the Gemara says it must be that the karka was his and it's not going to go back to the Yovel. It's not going to go to anybody else later on. It's going to stay in the possession of his family. So the Achronim quote that you see from that Gemara, Yesh Neichlin, that it's improper to bury a person in a plot that's not his. So that's why you shouldn't just have a 150-year lease. It should belong to you, Lachlutin. I, the Gemara only says, Nimtza Tzadikov v'Bekevish Enish Aloy. It's only paid on Tzadikim. So what if the guy's not a Tzadik? Pinchas was a Tzadik. But if the guy is being buried, Nishkan Tzadik, so Mitzvah Kohana writes in the Tshuva, no, that if you're only burying one person, then it's a Kepeda only if he's a Tzadik. But if you're talking about a basic forest of the Kehillah, so you're going to assume that there's no Tzadik in the whole Kehillah. We assume for sure that there must be, from the whole community, must be some person who is a Tzadik. So just to lease a plot to bury the mason is not proper. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a whole Eisik about the atzavim, grass that grows on top of a grave, and maybe it should be also b'hanor, just like a mace is also b'hanor, and maybe the atzavim is also b'hanor. So there's a whole deal on the assumption that the atzavim, the grass, or the flowers that grow on top of the grave are also b'hanor. What about the flowers or the fruits that grow on trees that are not directly on top of the grave? So Rabbi Kivegi says on the Ramon, the end of Yeridaya, that it's mutter. The whole Ramon only goes, al-gabi ha... Al Gabi Ha Kever, but if it's not Al Gabi Ha Kever, not. In, so that offer that was tallish and you threw it back in, that offer is also banor. So if the offer is also banor, you have things growing in it, so the stuff that grows is also banor. Because it was grown an offer that's also banor. That's a chumrah. No, take it off you may, but let's say they have flowers growing, you want to sell the flowers. You want to use it at a wedding or something. You have astrogin growing and you have fruits growing, you have trees on top, you want to use the peric as well. Astrogin growing on Pesach Forest, they talk about it. Maybe it's Mitzvah's lovely honet nitna. So maybe it's mutter, but what about Kol Shiva? So Lulav is only the Rabbanon, so the Balamon, the Mitzvah, the Rabbanon, is Leonis Nisnu. The last Balamon, Rosh Hashanah, and the Beis HaLevi says the Balamon never said it. He only says it on the Mitzvah that you have a Hanuas Agufam, and not glad that Mitzvah per se, Mitzvah, the Rabbanon is also Balamon. So there's a whole discussion on that. They're taking a Sroigim from that happened to be growing on a cemetery. It's a Ramon Hilchas Lulav, no? I think. Well, the Achrayim Hilchas Lulav talk about it. So one of the Achrayim who wrote a Sefer, the Mishner Shalom. His name is Rabbi Chernik. I don't know if he's related to Mickey Chernik. He'll be turning over in his grave. So there was a big Pesach Mefursim. The Mishmer Shalom, he has a Haskam and a Sefer from Chaim Brisker, from Amir Simcha, all the Gdoli HaTorah. We all recognized him as one of the greatest poskim of the generation. Mishmer Shalom is a classic Sefer on Prima Godim. Nobody learns Prima Godim anymore. So Kavachem, they don't learn the Mishmer Shalom. Mishmer Shalom is a Biur on the Prima Godim on Yeridaya. He has a running commentary on the Prima Gadim, because the Prima Gadim is written to kids in Nimrod, so he explains what he's talking about. So he wrote a few other svarim. So he wrote a sefer Chaim of Rochon, Mishmer Shalom and Hilchas Dalad Minim, where he has all the dinim of Lulav and Esrig arranged alphabetically after the alphabet. And he explains why it's so important that he wrote this sefer. He writes in the Hagdamah, because before Rosh Hashanah, Hilchas, yeah, Dalad Minim, yeah. He writes that before Rosh Hashanah, everybody's busy learning Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. Before Yom Kippur, busy learning Hilchas Yom Kippur. Then you only have 4 days to learn Hilchas Dalad Minim, and you have to buy the lulav today. And you don't know the dinim. So when do you have time? So he says, usually, Moira Ra gets stuck. They don't know. So that's why he wrote all the Hilchas Dalad Minim al pi alef beis. So you can find it in a half a minute. And then he wrote also Hilchas Avelos al pi alef beis, also called Chaim of Rochon Mishmer Hashom. When the Achrenim quote him, they always write the Rashi Tevis Chesvav beis, the Chaim of Rochon. And Hilchas Dalad Minim, they quote him a lot, because he quotes every Maramokim in the world. Rishonim and Achrayim and everything. So he writes about the Sadam on top of the Beis HaKvaros. He writes, Sofiyani is Daita Remes from the Pasuk. Right after Sheni in today's Sedra in Chayisorot, it's Vayokim Sedeyefen Asher Bamachpela, Asher Lefnei Mamri, Hasode Bahamor, Asher Boi, V'chol Ho'etz Asher Basode, V'chol Gvul Asavi, L'Avram L'Mikna L'Yeni B'nei Chetz. So he says, when the Pasuk, it sounds like even the Eitzim became Bala Zabesa Kors. Pashup Shat says that he bought the field with everything that was in it. So he says, no, it sounds from the Pasuk that everything was Nishapach Lias Abesa Kors, including Vachal Ha'etz Asheba, Asheba Sade, that all the trees, even that Agabi HaKever, even that Agabi HaMara, became Osibana. That's his Renna.
Because all these things.
Yeah, against Rebbe, pro and con. And then at the end, he writes in brackets, a remnant from this pasuk that a little bit not like Rebbe Kivay. But you see, even the Eitan that are not Agavi HaKever should also be Osibano. They quote in the name of the Vilna Goyen on this week's Sedra, a famous comment. If you count up in the Psukim the way it says that Avraham Avinu wants to bury Zruli Achuz Askeri Mochem, Voris Mesecho, it says seven times the word Likbor. It says it's so modern. Why is the word repeated so many times? Likbor is Mesi. Every time it says the same thing. You could have written a Psukim just as well, leaving out. All right, once in a while you have to say what you need. He says you could have had three times, four times, but I need seven times four. So he says at this time only our Adam Arishan and Sarah were buried in Moreth HaMachpelah. And it was us to have another seven people buried. There was going to be Avraham and Sarah and Yitzchak and Rivka and Yaakov and Leah, six. And then the Medrash that the Gemara has in Saita, Gemara has in Agarata, that Esav's head was also buried. That Esav and Yaakov were twin brothers. And when Yaakov died, Esav was still alive. So the Gemara has an Agarata in Saita, that Bnei Yaakov brought Yaakov Avinu's body to the Moreth HaMachpelah, and he didn't let. Esav didn't let. So they started a whole fight and they chopped off his head, and the head was rolling all along until it fell into the Moreth HaMachpelah. So his head is buried there. So he says, that's why perhaps I remember, that's why it says seven times, Likbor es Mesi, because seven more people are going to be buried there. Two people were already buried, but the Osid, they're going to bury another set. That's the famous part. And then he has another, they have printed the name of the girl, then he has another or that six out of the seven times it says Likbor es Mesi, Likbor Kvor Mesecha. It says first Kvor and then it says Mes. And the seventh time it says Es Mes Kol Kvor. It says first Mes and then it says Kvor. Why the Shinui Loshen? But six times it says Likbor es Ames and then the seventh time it says Meis Kvor. So he says, because the Gemara has a famous comment that Tzadikim Nisosim Kruim Kaim. See? So they're never Meis. Then he quotes a Zohar that says that they're going to have Tchias HaMeisim. So if they're Kruim Kaim, where's going to be the Tchias HaMeisim? So the Zohar has a Lashon that when it's going to come soon before the time for Tchias HaMeisim, then they'll die. Then they'll be considered dead. Shachas. And then I'll have the Tchias HaMeisim from the dead. So that's why it says six times with respect to Avraham and Sarah and Yitzchak and Rivka and Yaakov and Leah, it says Kibar Meisecho, bury him, and then he's going to be a Meis later. Shoachas Kodim Tchias HaMeisim. And with respect to Esav, he was Arashe, so Rishoyim B'chayim Kruim Meisim, so that's why it says Ves Meisecho Kibar, that guy who was dead already while he was alive, we're going to bury him through his hand. That's for the Vilna Gaon. I don't know. The Gemara says in Bavli and Metziah that Eliyahu Novi used to come to learn in Rabbi Yudah Anasi's Bismedish in Rebbe's Yeshiva. And one time Rosh Chodesh came late, so they asked him why he came late to the Seder. And Ziyah said, why is he late to the Seder? So he said he had to go. Every Rosh Chodesh he goes to the Moreth HaMachpelah, to Avraham Yitzchak Yankiv, and he washes Negev Asi with them and he gets into Davin. They had to take Avraham separately, Yitzchak separately, Yankiv separately. So they said, why? It takes too much time. He said, if you would get them all to Davin together, they would bring Mashiach. And the Banisham doesn't want. But if each one daven separately, individually, so then they don't have that much koyach that they should be able to be mispalted to bring Moshe. So the Mefarshim, I think the Marshur, and the other Mefarshim, I got to say, what do you mean he washed Negel Vasa for them? He says, because Tzadik Mimisas and Kurim Chaim is like a person who's sleeping. When he wakes up, he washes Negel Vasa. It's not really considered dead. I don't know what it means. That's. I don't know if it has to be taken literally, but there's some kind of a kavanah there. I don't know what the kavanah is. There's some kind of kavanah. The Zohar makes such a statement, whatever it means, that the kruim chayim until shachas has kredim chiyas ha-mesim, then they'll be mesim, and then they'll have the chiyas ha-mesim. I don't know. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. Maybe that's what it means. I don't know. All the time it says Kvar Meisecha. It says first Kvura and then it says Meis. And the seventh time it says Meis called Kvar. It says the word Meis before it says Kvura. This is the Diag of the Vilna Gaon. First you're going to bury him, and then he's going to be a mace way later. Shah has credit tears on this. So on six of the people who are going to be buried in the Kamal Abba, they're going to be tzaddikim. And the seventh one is not going to be a tzaddikim. The parashat continues the way Hashem Berech Az Avram Bakol, and he tells the Kan Beisar, Eliezer, Rebbe Avram, to go get a shidduch for his son Yitzchak. And Rashi quotes in the Medrash that it says later, Ulai lo yisevu hishu lalecha sacharai, that the word Ulai is spelled with that above. Eli sees that we read it, Al Tikri Ulai ala Eli, that he wanted the shidduch for his daughter. Eliezer had a daughter, and he was a Talmud Chacham. So he wanted Yitzchak to marry Abbas Talmud Chacham, wanted to be mishadach with Avram, that their children should marry. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash that Avram told Eliezer that Or Canaan, Eved Avram Yeliyachol, that Canaan, Eliezer was an Eved because he was a descendant from Canaan, he was an Eved Canaan. And all of the Avodim were Arurim, Noach said a Kwalan, and Avram Avinu was a Baruch. The Rabbanu Shalom said, Hashem Berech as Avram Bakol, Avram Avinu was Gibenched. He had a Baruch, so because he was a Baruch, and his Eved was an Arur, Ein Arur is Gabek Baruch, so that's why he couldn't agree to the Shidduch. So the Sfasemis, I think, writes on Chumash, that's why the parsha begins like that, Hashem Berech as Avram Bakol, Vayim Avram Avdo Zekan Beisom. Why did he have to ask for Shidduch over there? What's wrong with Eliezer's son, Eliezer's daughter? Because Hashem Berech as Avram Bakol, because Avram was Gibenched, he had a Bracha, and Eliezer was Arur, so that's why Ein Arur is Gabek Baruch. Then the Sfasem is again a Chassidish Rebbe, so he quotes a Medrash. It's a Medrash on this week's Seder. That continues to say, that's exactly the Lashon HaMedrash, it says it, looking at it again, really says it, that Eliezer was an Arur for a long time. He was an Eved, but since he did Ritzon Adono Be'emuno, so the Rabbanu Shel Olam changed the Arur to a Bracha. When he does his Avayda Be'emuna, so then he becomes a Baruch at the end. So what exactly did he do here, Be'emuna? He did a good job, Be'emuna. So he suggests, Sasema suggests that the Pshat is that it was against the best interests of Eliezer to go do the Shlichus. He wanted the Shidduch for his daughter. The best Shidduch in the world for his daughter was Abraham's son Yitzchak. He wanted for his own daughter. And nevertheless, he went and he's mispallel to the Rabbanu Shalom that the Rabbanu Shalom should help him to get the Shidduch for Yitzchak as Avraham Avinu wants. So he mamish went and he did the Ratzon of his Adon, which was against his best interest. But that's what his Adon wanted, so that's what he did. So because he broke his desire, because he did the Ratzon of his Adon, which was against his own Ratzon, so the Arur was converted into a Baruch. That's what the Medrash says. So the Sasemis goes on to a whole discussion about this, that when people do Ratzon Hashem, when they do the Ratzon of their Adon, even when it's in contradiction to their own Ratzon, they would rather do this, and they would rather do that, and they'd rather go to medical school. They'd rather do this, but the Rebbe Shalom doesn't want that you should be Mechal Shabbos or whatever. The Rebbe Shalom doesn't want you to do this. He wants you to be Prum. So the person does the Ratzon Hashem even though it's detrimental to his career. He'd rather make more money and do this and that and live a different style life. But then whatever aura the person may happen to have will be converted into a Baruch. And if the Rebbe Shalom has to do the mitzvahs of the Rebbe Shalom Be'emunah, then he'll be Bechlal Baruch. I don't know. It sounds like it's a very major point, but we have to understand what it means. I don't know what it means. Why did Avraham Avinu insist Davka to get a shidduch from his family? What was so great about his family? They were of the Avodah Zarah. It says, Vanechi Pinisi Habayis. Rashi quotes Pinisi Habayis from Avodah Zarah. But he had Avodah Zarah in the house all the time. No, he had a nefesh asher osa b'chorin, had so many geirim. All right, Eliezer, Eved Avraham was an Eved. He was a descendant of Knaz. He didn't want. They had other people, nefesh asher osa b'chorin, so what's so bad about them? It's better to marry a Jew who's an Eved Avodah Zarah than to marry a geir. Doesn't make sense. That's what the... They weren't even Jewish. They weren't even Jewish. They were also going. How did Rashi, how does the Medrash know? It's a Medrash. How does the Medrash know Vanechi Pinisi Abayis means from Avodah Zarah? They said because Anoichi sounds like Anoichi Hashem Alakech. Mipnei Anoichi Pinisi Abayis. I cleaned out the house because of Anoichi Hashem Alakech. And how did they know the Darshan like that? Maybe it means Vanechi Pinisi Abayis. I cleaned out the house. How did they know the Darshan? So the Bar Tanura has a Pshat on that process. He says that in Hebrew there are words that are Lashon Zohar and Lashon Nekeva. So he says, Ani is Lashon Zohar, Anoichi is Lashon Nekeva. If a man is talking, he has to say Ani. If a girl is talking, she says Anoichi. Tavu zukta eretnish ken Lashon Kodesh, vu zukta Anoichi pinisi abayis, ala zogna, Ani pinisi abayis. So the simon that it means, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Mifnei Ha'anef, Haider Banishon is a woman. What's Hashem? He doesn't explain why. The Bar Tanura has a Kirush on Rashi Alatir called Amar Noko, Stema Noko. Remember when I was a student in high school here, I asked my Hebrew teacher, Dr. Breyer. He said, I never heard of that. He said, he never heard of that. I'm making a motion that gave him. I don't know. That's what the Bar Tanura said. Yeah. I don't know. It's a Shver Bar Tanura. A lot of Shver Bar Tanura. This is one of the many. It's a Shver Bar Tanura. So that's the Kasha all the Mepharshim here. So remember years ago in the yeshiva, my Rebbe used to say in the name of the Drasha Saran. This I never saw in the Drasha Saran. I saw they quote the name of the Avnei Nezer. But I remember years ago in the yeshiva, my Rebbe heard from others also say it's a Drasha Saran that Avraham Avinu felt that the members of his family, even though they were going and they had Nedim Avodah Zarah, but they had Midas Tovus. And these Gerim that he had, they didn't worship Avodah Zarah, they were from it, they had Midas Ruas. So there was a toss-up over here between marrying a girl who comes from a family where they have emunah, they have good days. The gerim had good days, but they had bad midas, as opposed to marrying a girl from a family that had bad, good midas with bad days. So which is better? So Avraham Avinu felt that it's better to marry a girl. It's always better to have a shidduch a girl from a family where they have good midas rather than good days. Why? Because midas go be Yerusha. That's what they say. Midas go Yerusha, and days don't go Yerusha. Just because the father is not the curse doesn't mean the son is not the curse. Just because the father is a big goin doesn't mean the son is a big goin. But midas go Yerusha. Midas go in the blood. That's how I saw the name of the Avnei Nezer, and that's how they say in the name of the Drasha Saran. Stan, there's a famous comment they say in the Beis HaLevi, when the name of the Beis HaLevi, when he was a young boy before Bar Mitzvah, so they asked him which is more important, that a person should have good midas or a person should have good days, good hashkafas, which is more important? So he said it's a favorite pasuk in the Torah that it's more important to have good midas than to have good days. Because the pasuk says when the Rebbe Shalom wanted to create the Adam, he said, Nasa, Adam is Almeida, keep the same Veloshan Rabbi, Nasa. What does it mean, Nasa? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach a lesson of humility to people, that people should be humble. They shouldn't say, I'm going to do, and I'm going to do everything while I'm young. You should always consult with others. You should think, maybe even though you're the biggest genius in the world, maybe the other guy has something to advise also. Pasuk says in Mishnah, the Chua Barov Yoyet. You always get an issue if you consult with other people. So that's what the Rebbe Shalom wanted to teach a lesson, even though he didn't need the eights of the Malachim. He was the greatest genius in the world. He didn't need their eights how to make Adam Arishan. In fact, the Medrash even says he didn't even listen to their eights. But still, Hichtiv Yatzma, the Rebbe Shalom writes about himself, Nasa Adam, that he had a committee with a meeting and they discussed it, in order that we should learn from him, that we should be humble, we should always consult with others as well. So the Gemara says in another place that the Apikursim used to tie it that there's more than one God. It says the foolish, not the other Mitzalmein. The Baruch Shalom had a committee meeting with all the other gods. Yeah. Right. So the Beis HaLevi said as a child that the Baruch Shalom wrote a Lashon Naseh, even though there's a risk that people will interpret that it means that the Shtei Mishuyis that become Apikursim, so have a Kilkul and Deis. But he felt that it was more important to teach the lesson of Midos at the expense of Deis, even though there's a risk that you may interpret it to mean Deis Rois, but it was so important to teach Midos Tevis that he didn't care that they may turn out a kilkel and Deis. They saw maybe as a child said, you see, they're not possible that Midos are more important than Deis. If it's Efshad Echirim,
then
Talmud
Torah is Echirim.
Yeah.
But if it's Midas is important,
yeah,
then why should the person go to the Shira then?
It doesn't mean that the person doesn't have the Midas Echirim. So he doesn't have to waste time now in the middle of learning. He'll do Chesed some other time. Just because he doesn't do the act of Chesed doesn't mean that he doesn't have the Midas Chesed. He can have the Midas and yeah, I'm busy now. I can't do it. I don't think it's a contradiction.
When you say Midas and Chesed and Yehusha, that has to do with what we say that
that's how the Gemara says, yeah.
So that's the reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Today people discuss a little bit about this, that it's not so important. they present this differently. So like you said, it's not so important to have good days. It's not important to have good days if you had good midas. But if a person's not going to have good days, not going to have good midas, then there's nothing to discuss. That's the worst of everything. It's better to have good days and have bad midas than to have bad days and bad midas. That's less mandapalik, everybody needs to know. That's not one of the alternatives here. The shaila is a guy's going to be very oizgarbit in midas and shvach mekulkal in days, or another person will be very oizgarbit in days and shvach in midas, which is better. So then we would say that the one whose midas are better is a better person. And it's better to marry his daughter, he's a better person all around speaking. But if you, I wouldn't say usually, sometimes you have situations where a person is mekulkal in days and in midas. So Reza Levi didn't say that we don't care about people's days. No one says that. Of course we care. Just if you weigh one against the other, so which is more important? Then we say that midas are much more important than days. The pasuk says that the way Rashi interprets the pasuk, "Ba'avoy hayoyim al ha'oyin," that he came today, hayoyim yatzasu v'hayoyim basi, that he had a kvitzas adera. And he tells this to the family when he's trying to tell them all about the shidduch. Tells them how to create this adera. So they quote in the name of the Rebbe Reb Heschel. The Sefer Chanukah Satzeri, you have all the Vertloch and the Rebbe Reb Heschel, the Shach's Rebbe. So they quote, "Was Zokter the Goyim? He's telling the Goyim how to create this adera. They're going to believe him? Why should they believe him? I'll tell you how to Ruach HaKodesh today." So he tells Goyim that he had to create this adera. Who says they're going to believe him? So he says, "No, he had it before Shirayim." Because at first, it says that he told them, "Eved Avraham Anoichi v'Hashem Be'erach HaSadorim Yod Vayim David Tlitzon Abokah V'Chesed Zav Avarim V'Shvachas." And when he was 100 years old and his mother and the wife was 90 years old, they had a baby after so many years of marriage, had no children, had a baby at the age of 100. V'Yitin Lo Eskol HaShaloi. And the Shidduch is a rich Shidduch. The Tzadikim and the Yuchasim and Tamir HaChachamim and rich and everything, and it says, and he's rich. And Rashi says, and he took out the Shtar Matana. He says, here's the Shtar Matana. That Avraham Avinu wrote the Shtar Matana, he gave everything to Yitzchak. And it had today's day. At today's date, so he said, "Yeah, left today." Hayom yatzas v'hayom basi. Had pizza there, so he proved it to them. Okay, kasha. An obvious kasha against the Rebbe Reb Heschel. He suggests that that's the shot. He suggests that was the shot. Shem echru v'kasu avar. That's what he interpreted. These two midrashim go together. That tells the amaisa that he had a kvitzah derech, and he shows them a shtar. What did he do that? These two went together to prove that he had a kvitzah derech. He says the whole zivik must be min hashamayim. I had a kvitzah derech, and I'll prove it. Here's the shtar that was written. The ink is still wet. Here it has today's date. That's how he interprets. Maybe Avraham Avinu was in cahoots with Eliezer, and he left 3 months before, and he wrote a date from 3 months later. He pulled out that shtar. Shem echru v'kasu. He says, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says. Yeah. But that's his famous word. The Medrash says that he had a kvitzah derech, and then that the water was all over the cross. Kama nisim in the floors, and he would dive into the Rabbanu Shalom, and right away she came. And right away she came, and everything was meridik. The Pasuk says about the Mahir, when the story is occurring, he dive into the Rabbanu Shalom, that the girl who's going to give him water should be the one for the shidduch. So it says she was very attractive. It says Vayoritz Avid Akrosa. Eliezer runs to her. So it says that she was rushing, but to Meyer she ran to get the water, and then she ran, but to Meyer she spilled out the extra water. But Torah she ran to get the water for the gemalim. How come everybody was in such a big rush? How come everybody was running here? What's the big deal? So the Brisker Rav has a comment on this. He says that it says Vayavach Hagmalim Michutz Lir Al Be'er Amon LeYeserah. It was towards evening, it was late in the afternoon, and he was mispalel to the Rebbeinu Shalom, Hakri No Lefanai Hayoyim, get me the Shidduch today. This is Amisnagdim Shepshat, he said. You know, Amisnagdim, I'm nervous when it gets late, I have to dab Mincha, but all the time in the world. Says he was mispalel to the Rebbeinu Shalom, he wants the Shidduch Hayoyim today. It's another half hour to go. So the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted to fulfill his tefillah, so he says, Vayoretz, Vatoretz, Vatmai, everybody's rushing. in order to clinch the deal before Shkia. So then the Brisker Rav says, he's running and she's running, everybody's running, and water comes up, and Kvitzas HaDerech, and Mamish, Nisim, and Eflois. So you would think that it's Mamish, Min HaShemayim. Then you get to the end of the Seder, so So it says, Vayisach Rebbe Yitzchak is called Advar Mesherasa. Eliezer tells Yitzchak all about the water with the running and the whole mice in the pizza derech. And you would think that Yitzchak is overwhelmed and this is the shidduch for him. Not convinced. It says, Vayivayehu Yitzchak ha'ohel asara imo. He said, I'm going to first see if she's frumana. So he takes her into the tent to see. And then it says, he saw Aran Kosher al ha'ohel mer dorot mer Shabbos lev Shabbos. And there was a brach mitzvah beis, and then he said, oh, this woman is a tzaddik, it's like my mother. Then, then he married her. But if he wouldn't have seen those simonim, you can have all the kvitzas haderachs you want, and all the running, and all the nisim and flos, and he wouldn't have married her. That's what the Biskar Rav says. He says, you see from this pasuk, see from this whole story, how you say that these simonim and hashmanim, this is nichush. You're not supposed to rely on simonim. Let's say everything goes very easy. So people always say, oh, it's a simon and hashmanim, I'm doing the right thing, and everything goes hard. Simon Hashman, I'm doing the wrong thing. Why? That's nichush. The Gemara says that, you know, Pasuk says, lo yisa nachshuv. The Gemara says that kol nichush, which anyone who's menachesh, not the way Eliezer was menachesh, doesn't violate the law. Nichush is like, lo yisa nachshuv is like Eliezer did. This is real nichush. Say, so went easy. That's a Simon Hashman, that's nichush. I think Gemara has things like this.
What was it,
I don't know. The Gemara seems to say in Chulin. The Gemara says in Kol HaBos, I think that it was Asa. In Gid Anash, I think. The Gemara says that Eliezer did the Issa. I don't know. It was an Issa. We find though in the Gemara in Tainis in the Perkar, Psoch Li Psukecho, having the Agavit and the Hanizogan also, they used to go over to children and say, Psoch Li Psukecho. They would ask the kid, tell me what Pasuk did you learn today? And based on what the Pasuk was, they would determine whether they should take the Shidduch or not. Is that Mamash Nichush? I think what happened in the third parak in my cotton also, that they had put a guy in Chermer, put a Rav in Chermer, big Tamachach, because it was an Avarium. And then they were discussing, and then the Rav asked that they should take him out of the Cherem. So they were discussing in base marriage whether they should take off the Cherem or not. So all of a sudden, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni walked in, and he said, what are you talking? Take off the Cherem? Rav Yudah Anasi's Shivcha. Amsterdam, they read it, but there was a ship could put him in Cherem and they let him suffer in Cherem forever and ever. And here, one of the Amorim put him in Cherem, so we're going to take off the Cherem. How can you do that? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni never showed up in their base marriage. Never. Years and years he never showed up. The Maharetz Chayit explained, why did he never show up? So he quotes Midrashim and Yerushalmi that they had a separate base marriage where they learned Agarata. He was from the Rabbanim Agarata, he always held the Roshim. And this was the base marriage where they learned. After 20 years, a guy comes in and he holds a whole speech why they shouldn't take off the chair. So the Amorim said, my Haidi Kamon, the Rosh Mubarakmeni showed up in the base marriage, so many years he hasn't showed up. It's a Simim and Hashemayim that we're not supposed to be Matel Lechem. So you see that the Gemara does have such things. There is a Simim and Hashemayim. If something happens, I get a letter from England. After 10 years, I get a letter. So it's a Simim that I should go visit a Beis HaKfaros. The guy tells me a story. He got tickets from England, so he went to visit. But Lazer tells him he's buried near London. So he went to the visit because he hadn't never heard from anybody. Little nowhere, got a letter from England. All such things like that. So the Brisker up said that this is all nichush, but the Gemara has what they used to do like that. So the Ran, I think, on Chulin, I think the case of Mishnah and the Raman quotes from the Ran after on Chulin that he says the nichush is author, the psofli psukecha is muta. Why is psofli psukecha muta? I don't know exactly why, I'm guessing. I thought maybe I'm being menachesh. I'm guessing maybe the pshat is like this, that Torah was given b'nevuah. When the Vim Ksuvim was given b'nevuah, b'ruach HaKodesh, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi, the Vim Ksuvim is b'ruach HaKodesh. So originally when it was given b'ruach HaKodesh. And halachas were originally given to Moshe Rabbeinu b'nevuah, b'ruach HaKodesh. And over the generations, the Torah Hashem Lireyav, the Gemara says, that the halachas were developed with the siyata rishmaya that the chachamim should be mechaven elohemetz. So if you say over a din, or you say over a pasuk, which was originally given by Ruach HaKodesh or Nevuah, so maybe we assume that that too is epis hamadrega of Ruach HaKodesh or Nevuah. So maybe it's only in such a case. If you see akvitzus haderech, and you see everybody running, and you see the water going up, going down, all kinds of simam in hashamayim, and somebody dies, and I get tickets from England, and I got some ice. Anything that doesn't have to do with Nevuah, Ruach HaKodesh, that's nichush. If you're going to rely on that simen to determine what you're going to do in the future. But maybe only if it's Psochli Psukecha, if the Tamachach, he starts talking and learning, and they say, why is it that he said this about Torah today? He never said it, he hasn't said it about Torah in 20 years in our base marriage. So maybe when it comes to Divrei Torah, Divrei Nevuah, which originally were given by Nevuah, Ruach HaKodesh, and now when it's being repeated, we assume also that the fact that it's being repeated, Bosa Mokum, Bosa Zman, perhaps is a simen that there is a Ruach HaKodesh now also, there is some Nevuah now. Maybe that's the answer, I don't know. But that's the Brisker Rav's Misnagdash Epshan. Why everybody had a rush? Because they had to make Shkia. Hakar is all the fun I hayom. And why? And why Yitzchak had to test out first? Because he didn't go for all the mops and all the nusin aflois. Didn't mean anything to him.
I'm saying, but how was he convinced by all the nusin aflois that happened also?
That was frumes. No, he saw frumes achen. No, these were not frumes achen. Water goes up, water goes down. There's not no frumkai. He sees that everything goes very smoothly. So because it goes smoothly, you should assume that that is zivik min hashamayim. So Rav Avla says not necessarily. Yitzchak held not necessarily. But when he sees that she's frum, no, these are the flaws of frumes achen. Adam kosher ala oil, these apparently represent the ruchni, these are frumazak. Some water goes up and things go very easily, so that's not frumazak, these are frumazimon. It's a frumazimon, that's what he went for. That's what he said. That's like totally super, yeah, to open up a humish. Yeah. It's also something like along the lines of a totally super. They quote in the Sefer of the Vilna Gaon, the Likud that they had on Chumash from the Gaon, they quote, how did the Gemara know the Darshan, Ulai Leisev Elisha, that Ulai means Eli, that he wanted Yitzchak to marry his daughter, Basai Solol Eliezer. How do you see that from Ulai? Elechamna. So he says that in Tanakh, the two words to say maybe is Ulai and Pen. So he says that Pen means it may happen and the one who's speaking doesn't want it to happen. Shamlocha Pen Yiftelavokko Veshachachachach. And Ulai means when maybe something will happen that you do want it to happen. So he said that that's why. It says over here, Ulai Lesevoish, it sounds like he didn't say Pen. What will happen, Pen Lesevoish? He said Ulai, so it sounds like that he did want it to happen. So on the bottom of the Sefer, they quote Kashis that it's not, it doesn't seem to be 100% always Gal. There are Psukim in Tanakh where you have the word Ulai, where the guy doesn't want it to happen. So the Talmidim of the Gruach patched it up. But, the going to Pshat is, it fits in all of them.
Then Eli doesn't want it to happen. Eli didn't want it to happen.
No, Eli. He wanted that Yitzchak shouldn't get any shidduch over there by the family and he should marry his daughter. So that's what he's going to
say. How do you see Eli? Say how does Chazal not say Eli because he said Eli says he wants it, so maybe he wanted it, just the opposite.
Not
Eli, he wanted
that. The Goyen says that he wanted the shidduch for his daughter. He wanted it, that's why he said Ulai, didn't say Pen. The lashon that he used was Ulai because he maybe this will happen and that's what he really wanted should happen, that Yitzchak should be his son. Otherwise he would have said Pen. That's what led the Chacham to Darshan because he said Ulai. As I got the name from the good. The Medrash, it's not a regular Medrash. The Medrash quoted by the Torah Shleimo, he has Kisvayad, Medrashim, comments on the Pasuk, why is Vayikach Hasor Migmali Adonav, why did he take 10 camels? Because he needed 10 men for the minion, because we're going to say Birchas Eresim. But the Taisus in the first paragraph in Ksubis quotes, I think, from the Shukas. It says, Vaivarcha es Rivka. Vayomaru acha seinam at hayin liyalpa revavo. It says, Vaivarcha es Rivka semicolon. They said the Birchas Eris. You can't. In this passage, the Shukas comments, we derive that you recite Birchas Eris. Because Eliezer was a shliach for Kiddushin. He was a shliach for Eris. So the Medrash that the Torah Shleimah quotes says, why did he take Hasarag Mali? Mali Adonai, because he needed a minion for Birchas Eris. That idea that you need a minion, that's just lahatchila. If it's a shasat chag, any slight shasat chag on the roof, then it has in the day shmuel and Eben Ezra that you don't have to go crazy. If you don't have a minion, it's nishkefel. The only thing is for the birchas nisuin. For that you need a minion. That's ma'akev. You cannot recite birchas nisuin without a minion. Then the day shmuel quotes in Eben Ezra, he quotes in Machloikas HaRishonim, the Rajbo and somebody else, I forgot. So what if you don't have a minion? What if a guy lives in a little village and a couple wants to get married? There's no minion. The birchas erisin is no problem. Shasat chag, any slight shasat chag. So you can have Birchas Eresim without a minyan. But Birchas Nisuin is Likuva, the minyan is Likuva, so you can't say the brachas at all. Can you have, he quotes Machlegis, can you have the Nisuin without the Birchas Nisuin? Are the brachas Neakev and the Chalois HaChupeh? If there is Kala B'loi Brocha, Asur L'Bala Kanida. So the Machlegis and the Rishonim is, how do you translate Kala B'loi Brocha? Some say Kala B'loi Chupeh. Kala B'loi Chupeh. If you have a minyan, you say the brachas. If you don't have a minyan, you don't say the brachas. You have the Chupeh without the brachas. It doesn't mean if you didn't say the brachas, so the Chupeh is not Matar L'Bala. And other Rishonim say no, that even though the chuppah is chal without the brachas, but she's still asura mid the rabbanon. Kala b'loy bracha, asura l'bar l'kenido. That if you don't have the minyan for the birchas nisuin, so they're not allowed to live together. They'll have nisuin, it'll be koina, but there'll still be the yisur arusa l'bar will still apply. That's halacha l'maisa. Years ago, used to be halacha l'maisa in the army. Chaplains in the army, Orthodox chaplains, had to marry off couples, and there were no minyanim. There were no. Now it's halacha l'maisa in a lot of communities. There's no minyan. Like me, this is not me. So it's a big shine and din, what to do? They gave the bracha achar seinu matayili alfi revavu, and Shulchan Aruch Ibn Ezra quoted when the rabbi does the badekin, he's supposed to say that bracha to the kala. That's according to the meaning that the rabbi does the badekin. Now we have the meaning that the chassan does the badekin himself. The Dogma Revavu quoted that there were two minhagim in the different parts of Europe. In some countries, he writes which countries. He says in some countries they used to have the rabbi do the badekin. In some countries they had the chassan do the badekin. He claims that even when the rabbi does the badekin, it's understood that he's the shliach on behalf of the chassan to do the nisuin for the chassan, because the Mordechai claims the Taz at the end of Yeridin, Hilchos Avodah, Taz quotes from what things to do, is that badekin is the nisuin. The different sheet is what constitutes the nisuin. One sheet is the badekin is the nisuin, one sheet is standing under the canopy is the nisuin, one sheet is that the yichud is the nisuin. We're machmer for all three. So the Dogma Rabba says, even if the rabbi does the badekin, it doesn't mean that we're not following that sheet of the badekin is the nisuin. No, it's understood that the chassan is the man of the rabbi, it should be the man of him, but it's understood that he's the man of him as his shliach to do the nisuin.
Is there aided by the
you always have aided. They were always aided.
Yichud
aided. No. Abzalavetchik years ago used to be miachar aided by the badekin. So he did it as sort of batchanes, you know. It wasn't for real, because the yichud aided by the kiddushin itself is a chumrah. The Rishonim never had Yichud Eidim. The Ritva quoted it was introduced by his rabbeim. They were the first ones to introduce Yichud Eidim based on a shtickle Torah.
Well,
that
that's the Nisuin, then
no, but because Nisuin Gufa, there is a deal on whether you need Eidim Lekiyum Adama. So it's really a Chumra Agabi Chumra. Because the half of the Paschim hold, more than half of the Paschim perhaps hold that you don't even need Eidim Lekiyum Adama by the Yichud. You don't need Eidim Yichud. You don't need Eidim for Nisuin. Only for Kiddushin. Even if you do, Meikar Adin Lehold, you don't need Yichud Eidim. So to require Yichud Eidim for the Badekin is a Chumra Agabi Chumra. Years ago, when Rav Soloveitchik used to be in a good mood, he used to tell him to be yachad eidim by the badek. No, he didn't do it. Later, he didn't do it. It's not the time. We rely on the Chumash Rashi quoted by the Mordechai on the first 30 conditions that if you do nisuin before the erisin, it's also chal. Some of what it means is when you do the erisin, she becomes a nesua. Now she becomes first a nesua, and now she becomes an arusa. When you do the chuppah before you do the badek, before nothing is stopped. But what took effect is that even when he'll give kiddushin, she will be converted from a pnuya to a nesua gemura. Instead of like a normal erisin makes the pnuya into an arusa, if he had nesuin first, then make the pnuya into a nesua gemura. So that was the minhag in Europe when the rav did the badek, and so he gave a bracha chaseinu atayili al pi revav. Now that the chassan does the badek and stuff, which the rav isn't even there. Looks a little funny if the Rav should say the Bro. In the Haggadah, we say over from the Lashon HaTanan that Lavan Bikish Laker is Hakol. What did Lavan do that is Bikish Laker is Hakol? So there are Mepharshim who say the famous Taich Shepel that the Gemara says in Gittin. The Gemara says in Gittin that if I appoint a Shliach to be the Kaddish and Isha to me, and the Shliach dies, I'm not allowed to marry anybody. Why? Because Chazak the Shliach has a Shlichusay. Maybe the Shliach was Mekadosh a girl on my behalf, and then the Shliach died before he notified me who the girl is, and maybe I'll be marrying a girl who's a sister or a daughter of my wife, and I'll violate the din of Achar Sishti or Isha Obita. So that's what the Velt teaches. I'm shot that Lavan Bikish Laker is Hakol, because the Medrash says, Rashi quotes the Medrash, that Lavan wanted to bump off Eliezer. He tried to slip him poison, and then he held the whole drush, and then Besua laid the poison. He switched the plates, and then Besua laid the poison in the middle. So they say that's the touch, love and bigish lakas sakal. He wanted to kill the shliach and the kiddushin. If he killed the shliach and the kiddushin, then Yitzchak would be asked to b'chalal nashim shaboyim. It's interesting, on this week's Sedra, on this parsha, the Shilpas quotes that Gemara. Right? And then it's it. On the Shilpas goes into a whole dissertation, whether it's a dinder rais or dinder rabban, the machlekes tesis and the Ramban. Says she can know that she's based is. The Gemara says that they can call the world from after them. Gemara says, what do you mean? There are a million girls in the world. So why not say that the girl is Yigol Basa Raiv? Raiv girls are not the daughter, not the sister of the one that the Shliach may have been Mekadosh. So why not go Basa Raiv? So the Gemara says, no, call Kavua Kamatzam after them. So Taisa says that it's only a Chulim de Rabbanan. We treat it as Kavua because based on the stringent rules and regulations of Kavua, this is not Kavua. And the Ramban disagrees, the Ran and Kiddush, the Ran and Gittin, of course, the Ramban and Samach Dalet. The Ramban disagrees and he holds no, that this is a real Kavua derisa. So the Netziv says, if you read the Shilpas on today's Sedra, he sounds like he holds also like the Ramban, that it's really Kavua derisa, it's not Kavua derabbanan. they punish, well, he still has a chance, he can marry a gioret, he can marry a girl, doesn't have any. He's not literally also b'chol ha'nashim shabbat, the Gemara says he can marry a few girls. He has himself a wide range, but it's not as wide as it would have normally been. Yeah, that's up shetl, that's how, in Yiddish, that's in Yiddish folklore, they say, some of Farshim Anah got it, write it. It's in Yiddish folklore, that's what they say, pshat. Love him being a shlachas hakol because he tried to kill a shliach. But it's just interesting that the Shulchan on this week's Sedra quotes that din. Talks about the dinim of kiddushin ayde shliach, and then he points out this din. But if meis ha-shliach ha-asa b'chol ha-nashim shavar. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah in Eben Ezra quotes this pasuk, "Vatikach hatzoifat tiskos." When she was coming back to where it's Israel, so she took the, when he said, "Hu Adoni," that's your husband, so it says that she covered her face. So they say that that's the marker for Badekan, that the Kala should cover her face before the Nisim, because she already had Erisin, and she covered her face. So what does she cover her face? Mishum Tznir, right before you have the Nisim. Mishum Tznir, she should cover her face. Then others give different reasons.
Ramah
quotes the Tshuva HaRashba, who says that Badekan is based on this pasuk, Vatikach hatzoifat tiskos, that Mishum Tznir, she should cover her face before she's about to get. Right. So that's why the way we have the practice, if the rabbi would do the badekan or the mother would do the badekan and one. But we have it, it probably is not so. We probably follow the other opinion that badekan is nisuin. That's why the chasen does the badekan. He's doing the act of nisuin.
Why do they have the veil? Some of them are very, very, very.
And then the Ramah quotes a third time for badekan, the three times for badekan. The third time for badekan is that it should be a very thick veil so the kala shouldn't be able to see the ring when they put it on, when the chasen puts it on a finger. Because the Gemara says in the first parak in Kiddushin, if the kala thought the ring was worth so much and it's really worth much less, even though it's worth a tuto, you have a chashash of Kiddushi Torahs. That if she, even though she wants to marry him, she knows that it's Shavu Puta, but if she thought it's worth much more, so then the Gemara considers that a lack of smichas dav. It's a very strange thing. This didn't apply in Pinya Karka also. If I buy Karka and I give you a bill, and you thought, I give you money in an envelope, let's say, and you thought, just for the purpose of the kinyan, I'm going to pay you later. I'm going to make out a check later for the kinyan, for the Dmei HaMekach. And now I'm claiming it. I gave you a $1 bill and you thought that it was a $1,000 bill, and I'm going to have to pay you $100,000 anyway. Whatever I'm giving you now, I'm going to have to pay some toll. Would that be a psul in the Kenyan Kesef and call it a rakula? Or is it only Chisaron and Kiddushay Kesef that the Gemara says a lack of smichas das? Oh, but there's nothing going to be paid later, right? Nothing has to be paid. Could be. At least by Kiddushin is a chisson. It must be the fairest by Kiddushin is a problem. That if the Kalba thought that it's worth much more, and it turns out that it's worth less, even though Shabbat Prutas is no good.
It's
on Shulchanot, they quote, that's the third reason why the Kalba should wear a veil, and then it should be a very thick veil, a dektuch.
Like they have to take off the veil
No, some Achrenim have like that. The Avnim Mulim and others have it to pay that the Yedim are no good. The Kimadov, if they can't see who the girl is. Others have that, but in Shulchanot they quote the Ramon, others quote such a minute have a very thick veil, so the Kala shouldn't be able to see the ring. So it means that she's masking for the Kiddushin, whatever the ring is worth. And then the Ramon quotes another minute, even if you have a thin veil, or if you take up the veil, so the Yadim should be able to see the Kala, so she can see the ring, so the rabbi should say out loud, a little bit out loud to the Yadim, is the ring Shavu Puto? So the Kala should hear that, and then she doesn't object. Obviously the ring is Shavu Puta. What does he ask the Yadim if the ring is Shavu Puta? He sees himself. So the Ramah says, no, the rabbi should ask a little bit out loud, is the ring Shavu Puta to the Yadim? So the Kala should hear that she should be masking for the Kiddushin, even if it turns out that it's only Shavu Puta. Those are the three reasons that they give in Shulchan Aruch why you have a veil. Either it's based, the Rajva writes in the Shulchan is based on this pasuk, Mishum Tznir, or that it should be a thick veil, she shouldn't see the case of Kiddushin, there shouldn't be a problem of smichas das, or that the Badekan is the Nisun.
Even if she knows
it's a Shavu Puta, if she thinks it's more than it really is, so the Gemara says the Kiddushin is not Kal.
So then what's the point of the Rabbis saying out loud, just to make sure that it is
a Shavu Puta? No, that she should hear that it's a Shavu Puta and she should be masking for the Kiddushin even if it's only Shavu Puta.
Why would you just ask her? What was you going to say? Were you masking for the Shavu Puta?
Yeah. So the meaning was that the rabbi doesn't speak to the women, so he speaks to the Eidim. And he doesn't even show a cooking first. He spoke to the Eidim, he's really talking to her. You should know that you're going to get married even if it's only worth the show food. Instead of talking to her, single. The rabbi's married, he's going to talk to the other guy's girlfriend. He tells the Eidim, you're going to bring the show food. All right. Everybody's invited and encouraged to come for Shabbos. This is the super SOY Shabbos. Hi, Eid Tzara. Okay. And for the Malala Malka as well.